Well, as you know, I was born with cerebral palsy, so it's a pretty severe cerebral palsy. I can't use my hands. I can't talk that well. So that's been a challenge ever since I was young. But when I really started to notice the difference as a teenager, because I wasn't allowed to do the same thing that other teenagers did, like go out on dates or go out to a football game, sleeping in the house after school. I went to a special school, which I did not like because I wanted to be with not non-disabled kids. Because there's nothing wrong with my intelligence.
Right.
It's all physical. So that is a frustration. And also, I always tell my mama I wanted to live on my own in my own apartment. I told my mom to go to college. And everybody kept telling me how unrealistic I was, you know, that just was not possible. So, as any teenager would do, I rebelled, and that was my way of trying to change the situation. Because as a young person, that's all you know, because your words are not being listened to. You're saying all the right things, but nothing's happening. So the only option you have is to rebel. And when I was 19, I moved out in the middle of the night. Because my future was a nursing home, you know? And I wasn't going to go into no institution. Am I doing okay?
Yes, you're doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess that was the beginning of the struggle and stuff. It took me a while after I moved out to, I would say it took me from about, well, first I went to college and I got 2 degrees and all that, but I think the change really didn't start to come until my 30s, where I realized that I had to do something different to change the way things were going, you know. I know many people may not agree with this, but from my perspective, discrimination starts out right for disabled people, even before you're born. So I joined the pro-life movement because of that, because I see many disabled babies not even being born because, you know, people don't want to deal with their special needs. They seem to really have an awful life, and this is the best thing. So I went to jail for that cause in many different states.
Okay.
And with my cerebral palsy, when I went to jail, they didn't know what to do with me because, you know, I need to be fed, I need to help to the bathroom, I need to be showered.
Mm-hmm.
But in my own way, it was really saying, you can't kick me out, you can't abort me just because you don't want to deal with me in the system. I think that really made a statement. It really helped change a lot of people's minds. And I also got involved in the disability community.
Mm-hmm.
Where I did much of the same thing, demonstrating and all that. But when I became about 40 or 45, I started to realize that although I think it was good at the time, I needed to do something else. Something changed in me. I realized that even though it was passionate, it seemed more like anger. And it wasn't really anger. I was really starting to understand. It's not about anger, it's about really wanting to change the system to give us a fair chance. Then I started to get involved with state agencies and state commonwealth.
And you're
my leadership really started to blossom. I mean, like, I was the chair of the Ohio Developmental Disabilities Council, and I was the first woman with CUP with any kind of disability, actually, ever to be appointed by the government to chair that council.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. And once I got that appointment, I really started to work with the head of Medicaid and the director of DG Council, John Martin, and Director Moody, and Director Mukas. They all know my name. It's really funny. And it's humbling to walk in a room and people know who you are.
Sure. Are you, Renee, are you still the head of the Disability Council?
No, I got a new position because my term ran out. I was the head of the council from 2011 to 2014.
Oh, okay.
And then in 2015, I became chair of the Ohio Olmstead Task Force.
Wow.
And the Olmstead, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Olmstead decision.
No, I'm not.
That came about in 2001, And what that says is that all people with disabilities have the right to live in the least integrated setting. And what that means is they can't just put you in a nursing home because it's the easiest thing to do. They have to give you what you need in your own home. So you can live in the community and see life like everybody else.
That's amazing. It seems like it should be a basic right, but I'm sure it wasn't that way.
No, it's still a struggle 15 years later, but Ohio had made we were at the top of this year for getting the most people out of institutions into community settings. Let me make it clear, it's not people who don't want to leave. We're only talking about people who want to get out.
Sure. Sure. You said Ohio's leading in that space. Can you give me some idea of how many people we're talking about?
I don't got the numbers off the top of my head. I can get them now. See, Texas was leading up until this year. And then this year, Ohio took over the top spot.
Okay. I'll send you a follow-up note. I mean, if you can give me, you know, roughly how many people we're talking about, I'd love to understand the scope of it.
It's not like a lot in 1 year, but we're talking hundreds in a year, but we're talking thousands over 10-year period, you know?
Okay. That's really inspiring.
And you gotta realize, to get somebody out of an institution, you gotta find housing, you gotta find the correct support, you gotta find the money for the first and last month rent.
Right.
Because when you're in an institution, you have no money.
Right. Where does the money come from when people don't have money of their own? Where does Ohio pay for it?
Well, one of the programs that they started at the federal level is called Money Follows the Person. And what that means is the money that would have gone to institutional care follow that person into the community. So in Ohio it's called Home Choice. And what that does is that it gives the individual 1 year of wraparound services, that extra services to help them adjust to the life in the community. Things like rent, first and last month rent, furniture, bedding, just anything you need to set up your house, plus independent living skills. Now, you are automatically get a waiver to get out. away with give you in-home services such as somebody that come in your house to help you with what you need on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that had nothing to do with home chores. That's an ongoing program for as long as you need it.
Wow, that's amazing and inspiring. How did it change so that the money was moved from the institution to be able to follow them into the community? Is that something that happened through the task force you were working on?
No, that came about through the decision.
And okay.
I've tasked with, but I got that date wrong. It was 1999.
Okay.
I've tasked with came out of that in 2001. So in Ohio, the task force really pushed for these services and got people out. And so the task force did a lot of work in Ohio, but it did not create the Amstrad decision.
Okay, understood. Thank you for sharing that.
It's an ongoing struggle with people with disabilities and their rights. I mean, we really don't have equal rights yet. I mean, if you watch TV, you hear about other people's rights, which you should hear about. You know, you should hear about racial rights and LGBT rights, that's all great, but you very rarely hear anybody talk about the civil rights of people with disabilities.
No, you're absolutely right. You don't.
But it still has changed me in my own transformation, because I'm still not comfortable with what I've accomplished. I mean, just the other day I was talking to some colleagues and I wish I were 27 again and know what I know now, because I could do so much more. And they go, "Renee, do you know how much you've done?" I'm going, "No." So I still don't actually know what I've done. I mean, I know that sounds strange, but and they're not talking about my personal life. They mean in the disability system. Because I guess I've opened a lot of eyes and made people listen.
It's something that needs a lot more visibility, Renee. And because if it's not a part of your life regularly, you know, you don't really understand. You don't even see it. And until somebody like you opens our eyes, we don't understand the impact that this has on your lives and how you're not allowed to be a part of regular society.
But anybody could become disabled at any moment, and they need to think about what would I want.
You bet. Okay, well, Renee, I'm very thankful that you've decided to share this with us. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
No, was that okay? I tried to answer the question.
No, you did great. Thank you very much. I could understand you just fine. And I'll share this recording in your nomination form, as well as the information you provided with the evaluators. So thank you very much.
Did you look at my blog by any chance?
No, I haven't looked at it yet. I'm hoping to look at it today still.
Because that will give you some ideas about what I've done.
Okay.
The one that I sent you in particular kind of chronicles my life.
Very good. Okay, I look forward to reading that too then. And I'll read that, and I'll provide that information to the evaluators as well as this recording, so they'll have the same information.